You are listening to episode number 270 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Now with Les John.
Gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I'm your host, Ben, a.k.a. the Marvelous Iggy. Joining me is the man who is glad that my Houston Astros eliminated the New York Yankees from the ALCS and from World Series contention, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back.
Listen, you guys spared the world a new Yankees championship and all the Yankees fans who would come about as a result of that. So for that, I thank you, sir. And even with former Red Sox Dave Robert managing the Dodgers, I hope the Houston Astros pull it off. So it's been a good series.
It's been a good series. It's given me several heart attacks. I've had to go to the hospital three times because I just get too damn excited. And last but not least, the man who says always, fuck the Yankees, Taser, welcome back.
He's a Mets fan, everybody. He didn't want to get it.
No. I'm a Brooklyn Dodgers fan.
Well, considering you were a middle-aged man when the Brooklyn Dodgers were a thing, so.
I was a senior citizen when the Brooklyn Dodgers was a thing.
Ah.
Let's get that shit right. And in other news, I just want to say, John is an old man who drinks Metamucil like it's orange juice because he has no stamina and he's got crinkly old hair and flatulence.
Ha!
Because I said I would make fun of him, and I will, because he's not here.
All right, in case you're wondering, we are the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast. We are a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to all things Marvel-related. And let's kick it off with some fun mocking, shall we?
Yay!
So, if you don't know, we haven't covered the critically panned and financially bombed Inhumans television show.
Oh,
although,
God.
I think Taser's still watching it.
Yeah, can we talk about that after you do the whole opening spiel? Can we talk about that for a quick second? Just air some grievances.
Yeah, so, shockingly, it turns out IMAX, after the investment after Inhumans, they're going to be more conservative and not just throw money at shit that's just thrown together at the last minute out of spite.
Common sense.
Yes. Going forward, we intend to take a more conservative approach consistent with Game of Thrones approach to capital investment and content. Gelflaud, who is the CEO of IMAX, it will be more conservative when considering investment with capitalists, blah, blah, blah. Basically, look, this shit bombed and we were stupid with our money in this case. That's basically what it boils down to. I don't know. Do you think IMAX was given pictures of like what this looks like or something? I don't know.
I think they fell victim to the Marvel curse, which is that they thought Marvel was infallible, which we those of you who followed the project closely knew that wasn't a foregone conclusion. But I think this is the first project that really drove home the fact that, oh, Marvel just dumping money and their resources into something doesn't immediately make it a quality product. And maybe that's due to the fact that it's part of Marvel TV instead of Marvel Cinematic.
Yeah, because Marvel TV is garbage.
Marvel TV is mostly garbage. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is pretty rock solid.
Agents of shit.
All two seasons of Agent Carter. Yes, there was a second season of Agent Carter, Iggy.
One. Let's not put fake news out in the world, okay? It was
fake
one
news.
Season, and that's all it was, okay?
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But let's be real here. This show was destined, I think, for a dumpster fire from the jump. And me and Taser were talking over the weekend about what was happening because he wondered if any of us were watching it because of something happened on the show that I won't go into. I'll leave that to Taser to deliver that news. But suffice to say, I think this is an approach to them being like, okay, well, if this isn't going to work, what will? And it isn't infallible. Nothing's infallible. But I will say the funny comparison there, and my dog just fucking lit up like a Christmas tree. Okay, cool. Hold on one second. So, basically, what it comes down to, I think, and actually it was a funny comparison I heard in the actual article, which is like, we got to take a Game of Thrones approach. And everyone was like, I would have watched the shit out of Game of Thrones instead of, Inhumans up on an IMAX screen to watch the dragons fucking kill each other. And I don't know. I just think this wasn't the project to push all the IMAX resources into. And maybe that's IMAX's mistake for backing it, because they had to have known what they were getting when they saw the timetable for this project, which we've talked about at length before, which is like 6 weeks turnaround, I think, for the first two episodes, and like 2 months.
That's worse than Suicide Squad.
Yeah, it was. And
although
that,
I liked Suicide Squad. I thought that was probably one of the better movies to come out of the DC Extended Universe.
Right, but you're an anomaly.
Yes, he
how?
Is.
That movie made almost, what, $370 million?
Because everyone thought it was going to be good, and the marketing team did its job, right? It wasn't because the product was finished or, that quality. But
the point isn't merely on the quality. The point is the turnaround time.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
It was a rush job.
It was.
Oh, so then it was Iron Fist.
It was a rush job from Jump Street. Even worse than Iron Fist, because it literally had almost no time to work with. And it's a shame, but that being said, I'll turn it over to Taser, because I think me and he can riff on something that happened, sort of speak to the quality of the product we got. So why don't you go ahead, Taser, and enlighten us to what it was actually happening on Inhumans this week.
This won't be a full Inhumans review, because I'm going to save that up for, maybe it might turn itself around. There's two episodes left. Be that as it may, episode 6 was the episode where everybody manages to get together because they've been scattered for the last four episodes. And unfortunately, one of them took exit stage left for no real reason. It's one of those things where you see somebody running down a corridor and, the giant boulder is chasing them, and they take a turn, and then, scene changes, there's dialogue with some other people, and then when you come back, all of a sudden, they've been shot. You know what I'm saying? So the story doesn't have a whole lot of consistency. There's, and just this one episode, mind you, that you can kind of apply that to, the previous episodes too, but just in this one story, the last 15 minutes was just one giant what the fuck. It's been formulaic to say the least, but here they played the whole, hey, I know what'll get people shocked, let's knock off another one. Because, yeah, that works. It's an old trope, but you can do that and it can be effective.
Right.
But you have to do it right, and they did not do it right.
No, they didn't do it right.
Oh, my God.
No, yeah. I mean, seriously, arguably the sturdiest of the Inhumans, and you kill them off via roof collapse? Really? Like, that's how you're going to kill off?
Look,
and
we got all those shoes, okay? The shoes.
His platform shoes, yeah. Trust me, me and Taser had a whole discussion based around that, and in particular focused on the race, because it seems they always kill off the black guy, and again, they killed off the black guy, spoiler alerts, Gorgon.
Yeah, I think you can figure out which character we're talking about.
Yeah, it's the black one from the Inhumans family, so. But I thought it was funny that he was telling me this, because as far as the Inhumans go, there's such a finite amount of characters in the Inhumans who people actually legitimately give a shit about that you shouldn't be trying to kill off anybody. You should be conserving your characters and building stories around them and building them up for the long haul. You shouldn't be trying to kill anybody, because there's so few of them that, you're limiting stories you can tell. And plus, if you're going to kill somebody, kill Triton. No one gives a shit about Triton. No one cares about Triton.
Too late.
There was literally a story arc for Inhumans, I think it was in one of the War of Kings or Realm of Kings, where Triton went to a planet where there was literally an entire species that was just like him, like basically him, and they never expanded on that because nobody gives a shit about Triton, even though it was like, could this mean I'm not an Inhuman? What is all this Terrigen doing around here? And they never expanded on it because nobody gives a shit. But, it was just it was an unfortunate investment on IMAX's part, and hopefully they will invest better next time.
There's also something to bring up. Aren't they still planning on doing an Inhumans movie?
Fuck if I know. I think
I think it's still on the drawing board for, like, what, phase 12 or whatever.
Which is going to be years away, but I think at this point, when the cinematic and TV split happened, it fucked off that we'll get around to it land and just kind of kept there, you know.
Oh, you mean like the Black Widow movie?
Yeah, like the Black Widow movie. You remember that one? The one that was coming super soon and was going to be awesome and all that, you know? Yeah.
Did the comedy. So, yeah, fair enough, but I just, you know, I think... Like you guys said, I think somebody oversold the Inhumans as an idea, and you know, the IMAX, they tried to jump in on the ground floor thinking that, you know, lightning would strike again and, you know, they'd ride the wave, and that shit just did not happen, you know. Advanced Word came in and kind of tanked everybody, you know, dumped a whole lot of water on a lot of people's enthusiasm. I know I didn't go to the theater to see it because,
fuck,
well,
no.
If it's not shot in IMAX, what's the fucking point? You know, I'm not there to look at, you know, a couple of different angles looking really, really sharp. No, that's just no. That's not happening. And that's really what you got. You know, you just got the TV show with some really good looking camera work. Nah, that's a joke.
Yeah, probably so, not yeah. gonna work out mm-hmm. for you. Well, you know, I'm not, because I don't think they've released the financial figures for Inhumans, have they? Or if they have,
no.
I don't
think they will. Why would they?
No, yeah, there's no incentive to, because I'm not even sure if they would have broken even on a project like this, especially considering early word of mouth, like Taser was saying, how press reviews kind of tanked it from the jump, so... That'd be interesting to see, though. I'd actually be interested in seeing those financial figures, determine how much they put in versus what the return was while the IMAX run was going, because after that point, it doesn't matter anymore. But, interesting. Yeah.
All
yay,
right, so,
Inhumans!
Yeah, fuck you, Marvel Television, and your stupid fucking bitterness for putting together shit television shows.
No. If you're going to do that, then let's toss it at the person who deserves it. Perlmutter.
Yeah.
Ike Perlmutter. Yeah, this is yeah. Yep. All right, let's move on to talking about Punisher, because Lord knows in about a month we'll be talking... Well, we won't be talking about it in a month, but in a month, the highly anticipated Punisher Netflix series will hit Netflix. That doesn't make any fucking sense I just said. But regardless, needless to say, we're in the midst of Marvel Legacy, so that means yet another Punisher renumbering, and we're getting Punisher renumbered to 218. Here's the difference with this time, though. Punisher gets the War Machine armor. And this is all in the solicit, even if you, like, it doesn't say who the character is, you can tell who gives him the solicit.
Yeah.
Nick Fury Jr. or Blurry gives him the armor, which... I'm like, okay, I need some Frank Castle shenanigans back in my life. Let's fucking go. I'm ready. I love the Punisher. Punisher's one of my favorite characters. You know, this isn't
oh,
as
wait,
bad.
Do you like the Punisher? Really?
Is that, yes, I like the Punisher. I like Frank Castle as a character. He's interesting. He's reading about like all the serial murders. Anyways. I like the art from what I've seen in the preview pages. I haven't read too much of the interview, but God, just the idea of Punisher having War Machine's arsenal is fucking hysterical.
Yeah, hysterical is one word for it.
Okay, Mr. I Hate Fun, what the fuck do you think about this?
You're already tossing to me on this one, really?
Yes, I'm tossing to you because I already know I'm excited the fact that Punisher's going to mow down criminals with a Gatling gun.
Look, I think it's funny, you know, whether or not it's ha-ha funny or, oh, funny, you know, it's, look, I like the writer on this, Matt Rosenberg. He's a guy I follow for a long time. I mean, I'll pick up almost anything he writes first issue, at least. I picked up his indie series back in the day, We Can Never Go Home. He did the Kingpin arc not too long ago. He did a few Spidey books here and there, so he's clearly got pull at Marvel, and the people like him enough and they trust his writing enough that they give him more projects, and I honestly think this is his most high-profile title to date on Marvel, I think, because...
Well, that until, you know, Return of Jean Grey hits in December.
Oh, is he writing that one, too?
He's writing the Return of Adult Jean Grey.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. I didn't know that, but interesting. But I think it's... I think it's equally interesting that you have a character who's Nick Fury Jr. arming this guy, because that just doesn't seem like a smart thing that you would do. But then again, you know, what do I know? I will say that based on the preview pages, the art looks fantastic, so that's good. And like I said, I like Matt Rosenberg's writing, so I'll end up checking this one out, because if I know Iggy, he'll probably make it Book of the Week 1 week when it finally comes out.
Fuck yeah, I am! It's already guaranteed.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll give it a shot, and I won't be mad at it, because I know what I'm getting into when I read a Punisher book nowadays. You know, trust me, I've given this guy more than one shot, and it's nothing against the creatives on it or anything.
Nice.
It's just the character as a concept is something that just rings hollow to me. I don't think it works long term. You can do short term things with it, but long term, I don't really see it as being a success. Then again, you know, this is the guy who regularly picks up Moon Knight every time they relaunch it every 6 months after its most recent cancellation. So what the fuck do I know? But I will say that, you know, this book does have a lot going for it. It's an interesting concept. It's coming hot off the heels of Secret Empire, where he was Hydra's hitman, kind of. So that's interesting. I'll be willing to see what that does to his character and sort of how Nick Fury handles that, because it seems like he's going to be a bit of a continuing presence in this book, which I'll have to go somewhere else now to get my Nick Fury fix. More on that later. But writer's good, art looks good. I'll be interested to see where this lands, but suffice to say, with us giving it a try when it comes out, I mean, you know, I'm fair to middling for it. I know what I'm getting with a Punisher book nowadays, even when he's armed to the teeth in a fucking war machine suit. So I will be looking forward to seeing the inevitable crossover between Punisher and whoever Iron whatever is wearing a costume comes to find him, whether that's Victor or Ironheart, whomever. So I'll be looking forward to that, at least. And
well, we already know Frank Castle can beat Iron Man's ass. We already know it happened before.
Really?
Outside of
the armor?
Inside of the armor, yeah.
He
outsmarted him.
Okay, that
Punisher War Zone, Greg Rucker wrote it. Punisher took on the Avengers and he outsmarted Iron Man.
Huh. Okay.
That's not hard to do. That's not hard to do.
Still won the armor and still beat. Technically, it's a win in a fight. So
I'm not taking it away from him. I'm just saying it's not hard to outsmart Tony in the armor. Freaking
Tony was off whack at that point.
And not only that, what's his name? Bucky beat him in the armor. He just pulled the freaking mask off while he was underwater. Tony was like, you know. So it's gonna happen. As for myself, since I guess it's my turn, I want to see how many more people die. Yeah, I like Frank Castle as a character, you know, the Punisher thing, but he's never been somebody that I would read consistently unless, you know, word filtered down to me that, oh, wait a minute, this kind of thing is happening, you know, you might want to, you know, delve in and see what's going on. You know, I might pick up an issue or two, but I like the idea of him, but he doesn't, you know, grab me. He doesn't hold me. Here? The only, you know what I really want to see is how he comes into hit the possession, and how long it lasts, because
we know how he gets it. It's already in the interview, and I think I already said who gave it to him.
I wasn't listening. I really wasn't listening. I was kind of looking at porn, I was looking at porn. But I want to see how long that dynamic lasts, because honestly, as much as I like that idea, I don't see it sticking around for too long. If he keeps it for more than 6 issues, I'd be surprised. If it lasts a year, I'd be fucking shocked, you know? Also, I want to see him on that resupply. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because, you know, bullets are expendable, you know, materials. You have to reload them.
How has Punisher gotten bullets before when he's had,
he had Tony backing that. You know, that's not a problem. Tony Stark right there. Hey, Tony. Oh, there goes your cachet.
Frank Castle has a way to get bullets.
I'm
Frank
not
Castle.
Saying he doesn't. What I'm saying is I don't know if he can do for the if I don't know if he can keep up that level of supply, because we're talking the War Machine armor here. I mean, really? We're talking the War Machine armor here.
With the amount of, like, Stark tech, or, like, say if it's whatever, Stark bullets or whatever, that somehow winds up on the black market every fucking week, I'm sure Frank can find something to supply the continuous ammunition that
is
the War Machine armor.
I don't doubt that they'll answer that question. I just want to see if, you know, if it gets addressed and how he answers that question. That's really one of the things all I care about. But other than that, I'll probably look at it and give it 6 months, which is, you know, kind of my standard for giving a book a chance. And, you know, we'll see, you know. But I do like this idea very, very much.
All right. So let's move on to the last bit of news. We actually had some Captain Marvel news.
Yay!
Not Zachary Levi cast as Shazam, but rather Marvel's Captain Marvel. So it turns out we may have our villain, and it turns out it may be the director critic from Star Wars Rogue One, and Ben Mendelsohn. I hope I pronounced that right. He is in talks to be the villain, and we're going to speculate who he's going to be. Now, given that...
Hold on. Wasn't Mendelsohn in Doctor Strange?
No. That was Mads Mikkelsen, who was also
Same
in
thing.
Rogue One.
Okay, fair enough.
No. Yeah, he was just in Rogue One, too. That was a year ago, by the way. Given that Captain Marvel is attached... her origin is attached to the Kree... Also, fuck you, Captain Marvel number 150, for completely glancing at the fact that she doesn't turn into Captain Marvel right away. She turns into Miss Marvel. In Captain Marvel 150, they fucking they've been doing back, like, two page like origin stories for these characters, right? And she gets the explosion and she's automatically Captain Marvel. At least they allude that she's never been
Miss Marvel. Because Miss Marvel is sexist. Why should she have to take a back?
Either way, given that...
Wait, hold on. Sorry for cutting you off. If she becomes Captain Marvel right off the bat, what actually happened to Mar-Vell?
He doesn't exist. Anyways,
seriously?
I guarantee that's what I'm putting it right now.
Oh, wow. Holy fucking Marvel, man.
Once again, that's me saying it. That's not Marvel saying it, so who knows. I mean, Thor 700, the homage cover was of the Captain Marvel, you know, dying and everything, but who knows. But either way, given that Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers' origin revolves around the Kree, I'm calling that Ben Mendelsohn will be playing the Supreme Intelligence in some fucking weird... I hope we get the big, ugly, disgusting face in a jar thing, and not just a Kree dude walking around, but I want him to play the Supreme Intelligence as a voice only. I don't know... Because, like, they already did the other famous Kree villain in Ronan the Accuser, so he's the only other one. The Supreme Intelligence is the only one I can think of that would actually be cool to see, unless they create somebody, in which case I don't want that shit to happen, because that's how we got crap like Iron Fist.
Actually, I've heard Skrull.
Oh, that's right. The Skrulls. So he. Never mind. I'm thinking Kree. He could play the fucking Super Skrull then. Fuck it. I don't care.
That wouldn't be too bad.
Or he'll play like a Skrull Elder or some shit like that. One or the other. Like a High Lord.
Yeah, that would work too. Although, a Super Skrull, or better yet, Hyper Skrull. Because Hyper Skrull is actually really fucking, really fucking on point as a character. But. Yeah, no, I've heard Skrull, so, I would actually hope that they actually do bring in the, you know, green pointed ears and Thanos chin aliens in, you know, just to wash my mouth and mind of, you know, the Chitauri, you know, that horrible fucking idea for a fucking villain that they even decided to put them in the fucking comics, whatever. If anything, having the Skrull show up and also, you know, acknowledging the Kree again, you know, that might actually lead to, like, you know, some weak version of the Kree-Skrull War, you know, and that could be pretty interesting, you know?
Yeah, it could be. Sorry, we're stalling because Brian's not here right now. I don't know, like, I remember, yeah, because that was the big thing about San Diego Comic-Con is that she was, that the Skrulls were going to be the villains and potential secret invasion setups or whatever, but I don't know, I want it to be the fucking Kree. Like, I want to see the Supreme Intelligence, because Lord knows we only got, like, what, one instance, maybe two instances of the Kree actually being a thing in the Marvel Cinematic Universe with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 1 and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume Part 1. We haven't really seen the Kree that much.
Well, that's true. But you know,
I would have liked to have seen Hala. You know, that would have been awesome. That would be awesome. Who's to say they can't do it? I mean, it's just because we heard the Skrulls are going to be the main bad guys, that doesn't mean the Kree can't play a role in some way. I mean, granted, I mean, there was a whole fucking huge event, well, not event, but Avengers story that centered around their feud.
Right.
It I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to think we'll both get the Kree and the Skrull, but you could do a double twist with the Supreme Intelligence portrayed by, you know, Mendelsohn, does a double turn on Captain Marvel. I think it'd be interesting.
Well, you know, with the Kree. Okay.
Hi, this is brilliant.
Oh my god. We've been hacked!
We've been invaded!
We've been hacked!
Invaded!
Thank you, sweetheart, for that.
Sounds like really? Brian lost his stones.
Just loaned them out, that's all. I'm good now. I'm back in one.
Brian, did you cast Reality Stone before we left?
Did you do your saving throw? Did you do your saving throw?
Anyway. No comment.
Brian, we're talking about Captain Marvel and Kree's Impossible Skrulls.
Oh, that makes me so sad, because I remember Ronan the Accuser was a thing for a hot minute, and then it wasn't ever again, which really upset me, because I like Ronan the Accuser. But, you know what? I mean, given what they've done with the Kree already, I mean, between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Guardians of the Galaxy, we've seen a fair spread of what kind of, Kree we can have, whether for their butchers or accusers or, you know, just regular old Kree just mumbling around with, like, crowbar-type things, you know, like on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that good show.
Shit. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Hey.
No, I mean, yeah, it's a good show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brian is being diddled with by his girlfriend.
That is not true. Excuse you. What was I saying?
See, look at that. He can't even remember.
Hey, be cool, all right? Be cool, okay?
How many fingers? That's all I got to say.
Wow.
Okay.
Let's keep it on. Let's just keep moving. Brian.
Okay, mark this.
The senator from Massachusetts' time is up. I'm reclaiming my time. We're moving on. You don't get a say anymore. All right. Let's move on to talk about our book of the week.
Oh my god,
it was so good. Thor was so good. I loved it.
Yeah, so our book of the week, because fucking Brian can't help himself, is Thor number 700.
Wait, I didn't make this book of the week.
No, I'm saying you just spoiled that our book of the week was Thor 700.
Oh.
I was going to announce it all nice and fabulous
normal.
And everything, but no.
Nice, normal.
You know, if you wanted to.
Look, the point is, Thor 700 was pretty cool. I don't care enough
yeah,
to follow
Thor 608
anymore.
Was really cool.
Yes, it was. It was 108 issues ago. No, I thought it was fine. I thought all the cool different artists in there were cool, you know? So she's dying, right? Jane Foster's dying.
Yeah,
that's the way I feel like the story has to end, because...
It's called The Death of the Mighty Thor. I have a feeling like she's going to die.
No, it's going to be a Volstagg. There you go.
Well, he's not...
Yeah, because he's the War Thor, which I didn't know about that going into this. I'm like, Volstagg has the ultimate Thor's hammer. It's like, oh, fuck, make him the lead. That's awesome.
Well, no, because then you had people who were like, you know, never mind. We don't want to get into that here. But suffice to say that this is teeing up for something big, and I think it will be a return to the Odin son reclaiming the hammer.
Well, yeah, there's images of him holding a golden hammer now.
That redesign by Dowderman looks fucking dope.
I mean, it's basically Olivier Coipel's design, but instead of silver, instead of silver
and gold.
It's not Christmas yet. Stop it. You're not going to put that fucking song in my head. Fuck you. Anyways, it was a fun issue. It was great. It was a celebration of Thor. I can't believe it's in 700 issues of consecutive Thor. That was awesome. Take it away, Taser.
I hated this fucking book.
Whoa!
I hated this fucking book. You want to know why?
Because Walt Simonson wasn't writing it?
Because it gave me one fucking page of Simonson. One! One fucking page. The rest of it was Coipel's whatever the fuck and a bunch of other people doing whatever the fuck. One fucking page. It teased me. It grabbed my nips and was like, yes, this is what you've been looking for a long time. I was like, yes, yes, give me. And then I turn the page, and it's I don't even know who the fuck it was. And for the rest of the pages, not saying they were bad, but I don't know who the fuck they were. And the story was okay. I actually kind of dug the story, but fuck it. They gave me one fucking page of Simonson art. Fuck you.
Other than that, how did you like the issue?
It was okay.
All right, fair enough, yeah.
I will say this, watching, Toothmasher get his head ripped off by Matt.
Oh, that was so mean. Why would you hurt the goat? The goat is innocent. God damn it.
Charged Mangog. Mangog is a character from way back in the day.
That's an old Kirby character, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Mangog is one of those characters that's usually a whole fuck lot stronger than the main hero. And Thor, at that point in time, really was the God of Thunder. You know, we're talking somebody who, okay, you know, maybe Loki might give him some issues, but would beat the fuck snot out of just about everybody else. Mangog shows up, and Mangog pounds Thor, okay? I mean, we're
like
talking...
Like a man.
Yeah, he got him on his knees.
He took him by behind the woodshed.
No, but seriously, Mangog was one of those things where Thor needs help. Thor goes, "Hey, help!" He's that kind of character. And I think Mangog hasn't been in Marvel's pages for going on 25, 30 years because he was that level of, oh shit, fuckness, you know. So for them to talk about his return, and you know, in true fashion, he shows up and just fucking rips off Toothcrusher's head, and then the look on Volstagg's face, because he knows, oh, I might as well just pull out the Vaseline right now. But you know, we're talking. This is new Marvel, so. Volstagg will likely get his ass beat, run away, and warn everybody else.
I mean, technically, backup is multiple Thors, right? I mean, you never said it couldn't be more than one Thor, so.
But, I don't know how much help Thorog is going to be here.
Throg.
Throg, okay.
You mean War Thor?
No. Frog Thor.
Oh.
Yeah, Throg.
Frog Thor. I really don't know how much help he's going to be. Jane will be shocked because, granted, I haven't read most of the run with her, but she might actually remember Thor at least talking about Mangog, maybe, but she hasn't fought anybody like him. And Thor, the way they is, even though with Yarnborn, I think that fucking axe is called.
Yarnborn.
Pick yourself. Yggdrasil. Let me translate the words of my people.
Pork sausage. Anyway, if you look at Thor with, you know, his new weapon, I'm just saying it like that, he actually comes off weaker than when he had, you know, Mjolnir. You know, even though that thing's supposed to be able to, can cleave celestial armor. So, you know, stronger weapon, he comes off weaker. Here, all I can say is I can't wait for that fight. I think I might actually stick with this book until we get to, you know, Unworthy Thor and you know, that, you know, him coming across Mangog again, and then probably watching Volstagg die of his injuries, because I'm betting that's going to happen. You know, this whole story has sacrificial lamb, you know, needed to show the level of intensity that's going to come towards, you know, the characters and, you know, and the 10 realms, and there's got to be somebody big to warn everybody and then die, and, you know, it'll be one of those dun 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 moments. Yeah, so I think I'll probably stick around for a little bit just to see how this pans out. But fuck this book for only giving me one fucking page of Simonson art. Fuck you. I'm giving it a 3.5 Warren's out of 5.
Okay. Brian.
I dug it. I loved it. I thought it was great. I'm always a fan of books like this where you get the spread of all the great artists and you know, some different threads being drawn together. I dig the Odin Sun stuff coming out of the Unworthy Thor. I'll be interested, Iggy, to get your opinion in a minute on the whole She-Hulk of the matter, because she does show up, and that's kind of one of the other things that, Jane Foster's Thor gets into a classic brawl with Hulk of the modern day, but it's not Bruce Banner, of course. It's Jen Walters. And to see Volstagg with the Ultimate Thor's hammer, and to see it sort of having almost that kind of corrupting influence is interesting, where it was, like, calling to him in a weird way. Like, is that what Mjolnir is actually like in real life? Is that what it could
no.
be?
No. But also, if you remember the fight with Jane and Jen when they were in the Watchtower? And she
yes.
said, Mjolnir, go check around the building and make sure that it's clear. And I couldn't help but go, wait a minute, what? And Mjolnir flew around the building and came back and said, bzzz. And she said, oh, okay, then I need you to drop this building down on
yeah.
top of us. I do like the new take on how Jane controls, you know, the hammer, but that was a little much. That really was a little much. And I did kind of enjoy the fight, you know, because, well, they
yeah,
figured
I mean,
they might as well go with a Thor Hulk fight because that's kind of classic.
It's classic. It's
you
a
know,
classic brawl.
And Jen is the new Hulk.
Yeah.
It's not sexist now because she's just Hulk.
Yeah.
Well, her book's being called back to She-Hulk next year, so.
Is
really?
It really?
Yeah, it's been when it gets renumbered, it's going back to She-Hulk.
That's a disappointment.
Well, Jesus. But anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we can talk about that more if ever anything ever comes of it. But can I just say, one of my favorite little cutaway stories was the grandfather Thor talking about Galactus and Ego fighting each other. I thought that was fucking hysterical, where Ego just comes at Galactus, who is possessed by the God Butcher weapon and is just killing worlds, and Ego just comes at him like, those are my grandchildren, you bastard, and mows him down, and then Ego becomes possessed by the God Butcher weapon and eats Galactus, and just comes this whole fucking thing, and it's hilarious. I thought that was great. The Throg stuff was fun. I mean, what's not fun about that? And, of course, like I said, the Odin Sun proper storyline is what I was digging with, what's the woman's name? The Queen Lady.
Carnilla.
Thank you. Yeah, her. She's an interesting character. I wish I'd seen more of her, although I get it. I can confer that she was more of a presence in earlier stuff, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Material.
What's his name? Secret Wars. Yeah, she had a much larger, if detached, presence. So.
Okay. All right. You know, I'm a sucker for books like this. I love the rotating cast of artists to keep things fresh. I love the little glances into the future that we get. Like I said, that Russell Dauterman redesign of Thor, I thought was fucking dope. And I'm looking forward to seeing where the story goes, because we're teeing up inevitably for the end of a Thor, if not the Mighty Thor, Jane Foster. And, you know, that is, I think, going to be the thing that finally restores Odin's son back to being, you know, the Mighty Thor, the God of Thunder. So we'll see how that goes. And then, before I forget, one more thing. There's a fan that, hey, really? My dramatic timing? Really? Fuck. Jesus Christ. There's a fan theory floating around the interwebs that...
Senator from Massachusetts, your time is running out. Please move on.
There's a fan theory floating around the internet that Thanos is going to have a thing for Hela in the MCU, which we kind of got a glimpse of here in the issue. So, yeah.
But that's,
yeah.
That's actually been a thing for a little bit, because
that's
even
really.
I thought that...
I never knew that to be a thing.
No. Remember, Hela is an aspect of death itself. You know, and
Thanos is a fucking nihilist. He loves death.
Right.
But even though they kind of rewound Thanos a bit where, yeah, he's all about, yeah, let's kill people again, which is dumb. She met him at some book in the past, in I believe it was the pages of Thor, and he recognized her for what she was, and, you know, he kind of took to her a bit because, well, she's an aspect of death. You know, she's just the Norse version, and, you know, Thanos has always had
and that. Extremely hot.
Well, yeah, she can be. You know, she can be extremely hot. So, and she didn't exactly, you know, she didn't turn him away or nothing. He was like, hey, you know, all of that stuff, which is weird. Don't get me wrong, it was weird, but that's been a little thing for a little bit. You know, although, I agree with you, looking at that, that's like, huh. You know, and you kind of want to see a little bit more where it goes, but it's been around for a little bit. That's all I want to do.
Fair enough. Well, I think this is one of those comics realigning to reflect the movies as well, because
this is definitely
something I think that will come to light in the new Thor movie and the Marvel Cinematic Beyond. So,
did you notice when they did what was it, the really young Thor story?
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice how dark Heimdall was?
No, I didn't notice that.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Heimdall, you look different, my friend.
I got a tan.
You've been basking in the rays of the bridge for too long, my friend. Hmm?
The only thing that would sell it worse is if he ended up with an English accent. Just saying.
What you don't know is that the Rainbow Bridge is secretly a UV tanner.
But yeah, I thought it was great. I give it a 4 out of 5, solid. I thought it was great. There was obviously some things that weren't exactly to my liking, but it was definitely an enjoyable read. I would read it again in a heartbeat, and I'll be referring back to this one for the rest of the run. So, yeah.
All right, that's a bad mamma jamma. Let's move on to individual reviews. Taser, why the fuck did you like Cable 150?
I hadn't touched Cable in a long time, you know. I liked it when they brought the book back and they were doing that whole Cable. Whatever happened to Hope?
Is she dead? Please tell me she's
dead. She's not dead, but she kind of fucked off into normal world for a little while last time.
They dropped her ass because they realized,
just to find out if I missed anything, but last I knew...
Yeah, I was kind of...
They realized, wait, we could actually have Jean Grey instead of another knockoff.
Well, I think Hope stopped being about Hope, and then they didn't really need her anymore because, you know, mutants started popping up again. And then they just had annoying redheaded female. And so they switched out one annoying redheaded female with another annoying redheaded female, but had more name recognition. Is that basically it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. My collection with her in that run got kind of spotty at one point, and then I just said, fuck it. I didn't feel like going back and patching the holes, and we got to 150. And I had to pick something, and really nothing that came out last week or the week before was, stood out. You know, I mean, we had to do Thor 700, but I just had to pick something, so I picked Cable 150, really. I didn't know anything that was going to happen in this book, and it wasn't until I opened up the CBR that I actually saw the cover and went, wait, what, how about? And then I saw at the top, Marvel Legacy. I went, oh, they're doing this shit. So, yeah, I don't even remember. Wait a minute, hold on. Let me pull this shit up so I can. Brisson? Ed Brisson is the writer, and John Malin is the artist.
Oh, Ed Brisson. Ed Brisson's writing the Iron Fist run currently. That's his book.
Oh, is he the one that made Iron Fist a wuss? And his father abandoned him.
No, that's Kyle Andrews. This is the new guy who's doing all the Secret City stuff and the new stuff with Sabretooth. That's Ed Brisson.
Okay, fair enough. John Malin is Apen Liefeld. Okay.
In the worst possible way.
It's not awful. It's not awful.
It's
at
bad.
All, but it's Liefeld. Liefeld's art was a product of its time. I mean, it really was. And to see the rewind, you know, that this art is, even though I'll give it some credit, it's, well, I think a little bit of credit must go to the there is no anchor. It's John Malin does the art, period. Okay, fuck it then. It's not exactly Liefeld, but it's reminiscent of, you know, how he does his panels, how he, you know, kind of pulls his shots, because there's quite a bit of shadow used in this book, and some of it is actually pretty good, and others it's like, why the fuck doesn't he have his head, but we see his costume, the story is also something that's reminiscent of the 90s stuff. Because it involves the externals. I wasn't into that at all. I as a matter of fact, I had dropped, I think that's when they were X-Force. They had gone from New Mutants to X-Force, and then fucking Cannonball was an external, and, you know, the think fucking, what's his name, Purple guy from Egypt.
Oh, Apocalypse.
Thank you. I think he's one, and
he's blue. He's fucking blue.
Purple.
He's blue.
Purple. The fuck? He's green. Okay. Anyway, they came up with a whole bunch of immortal mutants, and they called them the Externals. It just wasn't a thing that I wanted to waste my money on, because at that point I was actually paying for comics. But here, apparently, Selena had gone back and killed a whole bunch of them, and there was two left, plus Cannonball, because he's still alive. And somebody killed one, and, you know, Cable catches wind of it. He brings Longshot along to help investigate. They get something, then they go out, and they pick up Shatterstar and Dupe. Now, I don't have a whole lot of experience with Dupe, but...
Dupe
looks like the Slimer of the X-Men.
He's kind of a badass, but also kind of a joke, depending.
He's the joke character who is just always made to be a badass. Like, every writer agrees he can do basically anything, but no one agrees who the fuck he is or why. It's really left to the writer's discretion how he's portrayed.
Well, I'll say this. When they go to pick up Dupe, Dupe is in the Bronx taking part in some Fast and Furious car racing in the Bronx. In the Bronx, no. But anyway, he's in the Bronx, and he's the Street Scorpion. And they're like, dude, it's the Street Scorpion. And, the freaking car's like kind of black and green, and it pulls up. Window comes down, and it's Dupe. You know, and they're like, hey, Dupe, I need your help because of this. And, you know, Dupe doesn't speak English, although they understand him. His word balloons is all gobbledygook. They talk a bit. He agrees.
You can translate it if you have the patience.
Yeah, I know. And there have been a few books that actually show you, you know, they translate what he says, but I don't have the patience, so fuck it. One, two, three, four, they link up. They go to the Hellfire Club because Selena doesn't leave there anymore. Oh, for whatever reason. And when they break in, even though he has the psychic shield about him, she still knows that they're there, and she uses walls and everything to attack them. And like, but. And she kicks Shatterstar's ass, and she holds Longshot hostage, and Dupe gets knocked stupid. and Cable ends up putting a bullet in her, which I'm like, really? She did all this shit. She gets one, you know, one shot in the back, and she falls down. And it's like, why should I help you? And he's like, well, you took out the guy giving us the psychic shield, so you already know my thoughts, and you know I'm telling the truth. And she stares, you know, like, oh, he is. You know, I'm just, oh my fucking god. So, you know, the discussion about the externals a little bit, and he's talking about how you killed all of them, and, you know, you're the only one left, and she goes, ha, 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 Cable, you fool! The externals are immortal! And then, you know, you see behind them is a whole bunch of characters whom I couldn't name, can't tell you who they are. Although the big other purple guy, yeah, I kind of remember him from before. They are apparently other externals. So, yeah. And that's where the book ends. I'm disappointed because on the cover of this book, we only get, like, in the book, we only get half the people shown on the cover. None of the chicks are there. There's X-23, the X-Men chick who can make the Force armor, and some mauve purple chick with the eyes.
You know, it's your attention to detail that impresses me most, Taser, about you.
I don't touch the X books because it's a long story. So, but I don't touch the X books a whole lot. But you know, clearly this is clearly this is a jumping on point. You know, new stuff is starting, and, you know, actually the cover reminds me of X-Force a lot. You know, it's just the year 2017. So, yeah, stuff is going to start happening in the next issue. but it wasn't a bad book. The art, like I said, the art does have touches of Liefeld. Ism, which Iggy Iggy would rather rip up the book than to be forced to read it. I look at it, and because I don't really have any of the hate towards Liefeld that he does, I just kind of...
I don't hate Liefeld. It's Liefeld, by the way. It's just that this art was not even close to Liefeld. This art was just bad.
This art did not give us Captain America with that insanely large chest. So I'm calling it a win.
Hey! In case you missed it, that's Taser going for the low-hanging fruit, ladies and gentlemen. The low-hanging fruit.
Hey, how do you look at a camera and your chest is kind of pointed in the exact opposite direction?
Somehow, comic book physics finds a way.
True enough. So, anyway, yeah, the art wasn't bad. It's just that... guy doing the art, like I said, he was kind of aping the 90s stuff, aping Liefeld's work, his art style a bit. And, you know, it's passable. That's really the best I can say about it. It was passable. The story... yeah, the story was a bit bleh. You know, I really wasn't all that caught up into it, but I kind of want to see what they do, especially when they bring in the I'm going to say chicks because I'm politically incorrect. I want to see what they do when they bring in the chicks. I care less about X-23, but the other two, they seem kind of interesting. I know, well, like I said, I know of the mutant with the psychic armor, whatever the fuck that is, but the one on the left with the purple one with the collar, I have no idea. So maybe she might prove interesting. If I had to rate this book, I'd give it, I'd say 3.6 out of 5, you know? It's a jump on point. So, you know, something interesting might come of it, and something might not. Like I said, I'll give it the standard 6-issue try, see what happens.
All right, let's go ahead and go over to Brian, who is going to be giving us the final issue of a series that is critically acclaimed, except by me, with Nick Fury number 6.
Blurry is gone! No!
And it's a spooky, scary issue for Halloween! Ooh.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. This whole issue takes...
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, not explicitly Halloween related, but it takes place at Ravenlock Castle, which is a callback, I guess, to an older Nick Fury story. He's pursuing a hellhound that murdered somebody he was looking into in a prior issue named Auric Godfellow. And no, I'm not making that up. They literally just made that thinly veiled James Bond reference, Auric Godfellow. And so the hellhound allegedly murdered Frankie Noble, who was a recurring agent of Hydra and nemesis of Nick Fury Jr. throughout the series, as well as Auric Godfellow. He is a Hydra money man. And so they both been murdered allegedly by a hellhound outside Ravenlock Castle, and he's attended to by Rachel McGregor, who is the inheritor of the castle from Gavin Ravenlock, Lord Gavin Ravenlock, who was killed by Nick Fury some time ago, Nick Fury Sr. And the whole thing kind of becomes Nick Fury realizing there's something more here than meets the eye. He gets attacked by a hellhound before he realizes it's an LMD and the castle is actually a Hydra compound. Turns out Rachel McGregor is not Rachel McGregor. She's Frankie Noble, and the real Rachel McGregor was killed by the hellhound. So fun stuff. And what I like about this issue is that each story that has been presented so far in Nick Fury in the series can stand alone. It is effectively a standalone spy caper. This issue kind of weaves all of it together into a finale of sorts. I kind of get the sense that they weren't expecting to be canceled this soon. The reason why I feel that is because for a grand finale, and for what this story has been so far, I would have expected more. So maybe it's partly on me for having higher expectations. But it also closes with a very odd, out-of-nowhere tribute to Nick Fury Sr. and how Nick Fury Jr. feels like his father on moments like this, and it's all a big to-do.
Despite that he never actually met his father.
He met his father.
In fact, he never actually grew up with his father, so why would he want to feel like his fucking father? He never had any emotional context with his father, because the fucking comics didn't give us any shit for that context. They just said, here's this bastard son out of fucking nowhere, now care about him. Fuck him.
Okay, so it turns out I misspoke, and Nick Fury's actual last line of the book is, on days like this, I feel close to my father, which, you know, may speak a bit more to...
I do not retract... The senator from Texas does not retract the statement. Fuck him.
Edit that out. Taser, please. Thank you. Edit that out. And so, I mean, that being said, the whole grand finale where it's all woven together with, like, hey, that's the weapon from this issue, and that's the person from that issue, and that's this from that issue. I mean, it all fits, but it feels like it was kind of forced on them last minute because they didn't know they were getting canceled. That being said, though, the story is no worse for wear because of it. I mean, the issue by itself is a fantastic read. The art by Akko is still fucking magnificent, and if you don't like it, you have no taste, sir. There, I said it. Good day. But that being said, I do have to take off some points for this issue. I liked the whole October-themed murder mystery in the Scottish Highlands with the whole air of supernatural stuff going around. I liked the artwork. The writing is still as solid as it ever was. The story is interesting. And I have to say, I love the character of Frankie Noble. She is fucking psychopathic with a capital P, and she is on point. I just love it. She's absolutely fucking bonkers, and I love it.
Yay, let's hear it for Crazy Chicks.
I would love to see her come back, and I'd love to see Nick Fury face her again. I really hope so, because they leave the door open for that sort of return. It all depends on what happens with the character in the future, because, you know, Nick Fury picks himself out of the rubble of this collapsed Hydra enclave, which unfortunately destroys Ravenlock Castle, and says things like, you know, I feel close to my father on days like this, and, you know, I'm not sure if she'll ever be gone. She'll be one of the ones who keeps coming back. I feel it in my bones. And, again, this issue was just great, and they do a little afterword thing, which, by the way, was how I found out. Was like, I'm reading the issue, and it ends to the last page where it's kind of like him standing in the shadow of his legendary father, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of a interesting ending. Doesn't really mesh with the whole tone of the rest of the story, but that's cool. Turn the page, and you read that, oh, by the way, this is it for this volume. This is done. And it's like, what? No! So again, being the fact that this is the finale issue, I retract points because I would have expected more from a finale issue, but part of me thinks this was forced on them last minute with a cancellation. But again, that being said, the story is as quality as it ever was. So, I mean, normally I would give issue like this a 5 out of 5 because it's basically flawless. But being that this was the finale issue and I would have expected more out of something like this, I gotta bump it down a notch, even if it was probably forced on them, and give it a 4 out of 5. It was a real solid read all around. Like I said, writing, art, everything about the story fit. It just that for the last issue and given everything that happened before, you would have expected bigger payoff and a bigger final finale. And whether or not that was something that they knew about going in or not, I don't know. But suffice to say, I would have expected more. I can only assume that we could have gotten more and we didn't. So I give it a 4 out of 5 retracted points for the lackluster finale issue.
All right, so let me close things out with a review of All New Wolverine number 26. This is the second part of the Orphans of X storyline, in which case I think these are the same people who were pissed off that Logan had killed all their families from, like, 6 years ago.
Oh, like, yeah, they did that, didn't they?
I think it's the same group, but I don't know. They wear creepy masks, and basically this issue is, like, half of it is Laura connecting with her biological birth mother, I think.
Yeah.
And sort of reconnecting with her. The other half is, and to much of my degree, Dokken getting tortured. Like, his arm gets sawed off. Like, getting bludgeoned. And, you know, if you're in the male fan service, you're going to see Dokken's ass a lot.
Woo!
In this, as he tries to escape it.
Somewhere I just heard Arnold quiver, and he doesn't know why.
Yeah. What's weird is, though, like, it was a fine issue, but I don't remember ever Wolverine ever cutting off Dokken's claws, and Dokken didn't have claws off. Then again, I don't give a shit about Dokken. I never give at him, so I don't know. This is probably the most I've ever read anything for him.
The last I saw Dokken was Wolverine drowning his bitch ass back in Uncanny X-Force. That was the last.
Yeah, he should still be. Well, remember, he was resurrected by Apocalypse, and then the big white hat.
Yeah, with the Uncanny Avenger. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he was a horseman of Apocalypse for, like, all the 5 minutes. And then the big wipe happened.
You're not really a member of Wolverine's family until you're, you know...
Killed by him?
Yeah. And then made a horseman of Apocalypse. So Laura still has room to grow, I guess, as a character.
Yeah, I don't know. It's fun. I still love this book. I love Gabby, Laura's sort of clone sister thing, who also has claws. Like, it's a fun book. Like,
wait a minute.
It's basically
another one?
Yeah, her name's Gabby. She's been part of the book for, like, 12 issues now.
She's a clone of Laura, and she's pretty frickin' adorable, and she's best friends with Deadpool, so.
And she has a pet, Wolverine. She's an actual pet Wolverine. And his name is Jonathan, funny enough.
Hey!
Yeah, it's a fun book. Like, I don't, like, yeah, I'm excited that Logan is actually back, but, like, I don't want this book to go away. Like, let her be Wolverine still, because I like reading her book every week, every time it comes out. But yeah, I love seeing Dokken get mutilated because he's a horrible character.
He's such a trash person. Oh my god.
But let's conclude the show. You guys tell everybody where we can find him, because I'm fucking hot here.
Okay.
Hey, you know, Taser figured out how to work Facebook. At least he's been tearing it up the last few days. You know, we're over on Facebook at the Mighty Warriors Theme Level Podcast on the Facebook, and you can find us there. We have a WordPress, obviously. Just Google Mighty Warriors Theme Level Podcast WordPress, and we'll be there. There's the our old stomping grounds, the Greenland Decor messageboard.com, or rather greenlanddecor.com, and the message board section is where we first roamed this the internet plains of I'm losing the thread of my expression here, so I'm just going to move on. I am on Twitter at no Mr. Powers. I'm going to save Ben from having to do that one. And as far as plugs, I mean, we got episodes every other week. Next week we'll have Thor, I believe, if that's...
Two weeks we'll have Thor.
We'll have a review of Thor Ragnarok, and then that'll put us right in the midst of The Punisher dropping on motherfucking Netflix, which is something I'm sure Ben Boy is looking forward to. What else? Oh, here's a fun one that's not really related to Marvel Comics, but in 8 days... 30 for 30 about Ric Flair is going to air on ESPN.
Woo!
Hell yeah. I am so ready to see Ric Flair immortalized in a 30 for 30. Those documentaries.
They better get that done soon because, you know, he ain't doing too well.
Yeah, it's
better now.
He's starting to knock on heaven's door. Come on now. Let's be a little honest here.
Ric Flair doesn't knock. He kicks the door and strolls out with the women and calls the
If
dead.
This was 30 years ago,
Ric Flair always kicks out. Ric Flair always kicks out, damn it.
And then he does his strut, and he just struts out the door and with a woo, and he's off, baby.
Woo!
And he falls down face first.
That's it for me, though. Taser, what do you got? Anything you want to add?
Yeah, I just want to bookend that Jonathan Cartwright is an old man who has explosive diarrhea, and he has hair plugs. That's all I got.
That's great.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we see you all in 2 weeks where we bring the hammer down for the highly anticipated Thor, Ragnarok.
I love that.
Bring your hammers, boys.
Immigrant song. That's all I've
We'll see y'all next.
I gotta say.
We'll see y'all next week. Song. We'll see y'all in 2 weeks.
5 weeks? Is it 5 weeks?
2 weeks. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Thor 608.